On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Audio Whiplash, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. In the co-host seat today, it kind of alternates with you, whether you're in the interview chair or the co-host chair. It's Amy Burke. How's it going?
It's me. I'm good. How are you?
Your first line is always super loud, and it gives me a chance to like adjust your levels a little bit after my eardrums stop bleeding. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Tall Can Audio. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Amy, I'm kind of thinking of ditching the Facebook side of things. It's just irritating.
Okay.
And well, I know you're not overly torn up about it, but...
Whatever you think is best.
Yeah. You know what? There's just not a lot happening there. And the thing that's annoying, and we won't get too deep into it because I don't think most people care, but when you run a page, which I know you also do for the Canadian Women's Goalball team...
I'm not very good at it.
If people want to follow along, you're off to Peru here... right shortly. It is the Canadian Women's Goalball page on Facebook. And let's say you have 500 followers. Facebook only seeds it out to about 100 people out of that 500. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But it's the people who regularly engage all the time. But 400 other people have already said they're interested. They want to hear from you. I like the page. But for you to get to all of them, it tells you you can boost your post for just $6 a post or whatever to get it out to the rest of them. That's not even promoting it to people who haven't yet liked it. So it's just a fucking money grab, man. And I don't care for it. So we stopped doing anything on our Facebook page other than just posting the episodes there. We stopped trying to build any kind of an audience a long time ago, but that's how that goes. How are you?
I'm good. Facebook is stupid.
And it's getting creepy and it's corrupt, and I've successfully pared my friends list down from around 350 at its highest to like 140 now, and even that's way too high. I've been doing some heavy slashing time by steadily as we go.
I don't even know how many I have.
You have way too many too. You're a social butterfly. What's going on? We're going to talk about how things went down in Fort Wayne, which was the last time you were on Canada Day. People can check that out at tallcanaudio.com. But aside from that, I know you're, like I said, you did Fort Wayne. You're getting ready for Peru. Outside of goalball, what's new in Amy's world right now?
Well, on a social media front,
yeah,
I feel like Rob because I don't know how to find how many friends I have on Facebook.
Okay.
I wonder if he knows how.
To find, like, how many friends he has? Or
no, how many friends I have.
Like, Rob's Facebook page has been held hostage since he split with his significant other.
I have 488 friends.
That's too many. You don't have 488 friends.
I might.
You have 488 acquaintances that you've put on Facebook and shown pictures of your babies.
Because my babies are cute.
Okay.
What have I done since Fort Wayne?
Here's where you can abduct them week to week.
No, I don't put their locations.
Oh, I do that.
What's
new with Amy?
What's new? Not much.
No?
No. I got a haircut.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of hair came off
last
week or so.
It went from halfway down my back to above my shoulders.
A lot of athletes are concerned about their weight. Was this part of you know, if I chop off a couple inches of hair, I drop a pound or two.
No, because you actually don't lose anything when you chop your hair. I've checked.
I feel like I do when I let my beard get kind of woodsman thick and then mow it down. I feel lighter. I feel more streamlined.
Well, my neck hurts less.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And it's less hair and a pony.
So you're headed off this week to start preparing for the Parapan Am Games in Lima, Peru. For longtime listeners of this show, the first time you came on, you were gearing up for this same event 4 years ago in Toronto.
Yes, I was. That was a Facebook memory the other day.
Was it?
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so you were gearing up. You were getting ready to go. Things didn't pan out so well. You had some trouble with classification. There's all kinds of talk about that. If you just search Amy Burke at tallcanaudio.com, you can go back and hear about that. So this is sort of the America's version of, you know, the Olympic qualifier. They have the same things around Europe and Asia and whatever. These are regional ways to get into the Olympics and the Paralympics. The able-bodied Pan Ams just wrapped up in Lima. And I wonder, you know, I know you always get jacked up to play for Canada. I know you're always excited to do that. But is there less...
Sorry.
It's okay. Is there less, you know, the last one was in Toronto. It was a major games at home country competition. You feel any different at all going into this one? Does it feel any different or is it always just get geared up and go?
Nah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, well, the Toronto thing didn't happen. And 4 years before that, Pan Ams were in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Yeah.
Which I was on the roster to play there, which I didn't.
That's right. You were concussed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yep.
And then, so this will technically be it'll be the third Pan Ams I've been selected to go to, but it'll be my first that I get to compete in. So I'm excited.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I mean, a lot can happen from now until August 25th when we play Brazil.
Yeah. You may get concussed before you leave this studio.
Exactly. May I get a phone thrown at me?
Sure.
I don't
know. Could be anything. And this will be... You know, as we sort of jump around a little bit, this is your last tournament of the year, right? After this, you get a little bit of time off, not much, and then things start to fire back up provincially and make your way around. This is the end, though, of your national team season.
Yes, it is.
So, Amy, for people who don't know, has a bit of a tradition after some of her major international competitions where you're allowed to splurge a little, you're allowed to get off the training regime just a little, you stop worrying quite so much about your diet. Would you like to tell people what you're always craving after your last big international tournament?
Well, for the... it's also sad now that they're not sponsors of the Olympics.
No, I know.
Yeah. I can't indulge in my
six, seven
Big Macs while hanging around the village waiting to go home.
So tell people about that, because they're... For those people who've watched the Olympics forever in Canada, you always see these commercials, McDonald's, the official restaurant of the Olympic Games.
You're like, people are like, what the hell?
There's like no chance anyone competing in these games is getting by on McDonald's day to day. But
the lineups at McDonald's.
So just let me finish. Sorry. There is a McDonald's inside the mess hall or the cafeteria or whatever of every Olympic village you've ever been to.
Yes.
Yes.
Not necessarily in the dining hall. It's usually the opposite end of the village, so you have to walk further to get it.
You have to walk it off.
Except
a little bit.
Except in Rio, it was right across from my apartment. So we would...
out the window at those glowing golden arches.
Well, we would look out the window to see how long the line was on whether or not we had time to go stand in it.
Right.
Because we also got our coffee daily from McDonald's, not just our Big Macs.
So that is Amy's guilty pleasure. At the end of this, when she's done busting her ass, it's always,
Big Mac
time. Yeah. Sometimes two.
Sometimes three.
I bring it up.
Never at once, though.
Because the Big Mac is changing its recipe. And for people a little older than you and I, although I'm a little older than you, and you're coming up on a fun birthday, we're going to have you on to celebrate it.
Yeah, I mean, turning 28, big.
Yeah, again, eh?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
There were these commercials that would, like, list the recipe. And I can't recite it, but people could. It was, like, part of this... like rhyming scheme or this little song they had on a sesame seed bun. And like everybody could remember it back in like the 80s.
Let me say a few words about McDonald's Big Mac. It's
two whole beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Two whole. Well, what was that word again?
Two whole beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
lettuce, cheese pickles, onions, lettuce, cheese pickles, oh, what am I saying?
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Where your dollar gets a break every day.
And they're changing it up. I think for the first time, maybe ever, and they're making the top bun a little thinner. They're putting a little more mac sauce on it.
10 milliliters.
Yeah. And it's supposed to make it so that it presses together a little nicer. They're going to put the onions on it while it's cooking. And I wonder if the Big Mac being your go-to guilty pleasure when you're done busting your ass, does it sound better? Does it sound worse?
Well, and this is what I was thinking when I first heard about it is, so there.
Don't fuck with my sandwich.
Well, there's that. But majority of the time, so every time I get a Big Mac, I always get extra mac sauce and pickles.
Okay.
So they're adding the extra mac sauce already for me.
Right. So now, you'll have to recalibrate.
No,
do I still need a little more?
Oh, no, I'm still going to get a little more. Okay. I'm still going to get extra mac sauce. Now, my question is, me getting extra mac sauce, are they going to, like, cap it at what they used to? So maybe extra mac sauce before was 15 mils.
Okay. So now it'll be 15 mils on top of the 10.
The 10. Or are they just going to add 5?
This is what I'm saying. You're going to have to experiment. But, you may have to sit down and have a couple of.
Oh, but see, I'm excited because I could even get, like, 3 times extra mac sauce. To me, the messier it is,
it's so gross,
the better. And I think that's why I don't feel good after I eat them.
Of yeah.
I think it's 100% it. But it's just, oh, man.
It's so funny to me that you, like, spend all this time getting ready to go and represent Canada. When you're done, you're like, I want something that I know I'm going to feel terrible.
But it's going to be so good for the 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what? I sometimes
while
even
I
feel
smell
bad.
It, while I'm looking at it, this is awesome. The first bite or two.
And then,
even like halfway through, you're like,
yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
I'm still going to finish it.
But. Oh, but I shouldn't have done that.
So the last time you were on was Canada Day. You were gearing up for Fort Wayne, which was your first chance to qualify. People who followed this show and follow us on social media, you know, got to see, you know, some of how it went. We posted all kinds of stuff from down in Fort Wayne as I came down to watch you a little bit. And when we got back, Maddie Lang and I sort of talked about how things went on an episode of Tall Can Sports. People can find all of that at tallcanaudio.com or just at Tall Can Audio on Instagram.
Not on Facebook.
Less and less on Facebook. I wonder, as most people know, for those who are just joining us who don't always, sort of a rocky start to the tournament, and things got better, it looked like, as it went on. And the interesting thing to me, and this happens sometimes in quick tournaments like that, like you guys did not start well in your first two games, but still probably ended up in the spot in the quarterfinals that you were probably predicted to finish in anyway. So you sort of got away with it, right, in terms of the slow start. But what were your feelings kind of coming out of that tournament? Did that rattle confidence at all? Did you feel like, okay, that's behind us, but we've readjusted here? Like, how do you look at a tournament like that where the things got better and better, but you still come away with a result not what you're looking for?
I don't know. I mean, we take our own time to... it obviously wasn't the result that we were looking for. And you are right. We predicted to be first or second in our pool, and we finished second. And I mean, it would have been better to have a Great Britain matchup in the semis or quarterfinals, actually.
Sure.
Especially now looking at it, because I didn't think our quarterfinal matchup was going to be that difficult.
So you played Australia in the quarterfinal, who, you know, most of the time you guys are able to take down, but every now and then they do jump up and bite you on the ass. They're, you know, it's the way it kind of goes. But once you lost that quarterfinal to Australia, your chance to grab a spot was gone. You had to get into the gold medal game. You didn't have to win it, but you had to get into the gold medal game to qualify there, which didn't happen. Did the quarterfinal feel like, you know, we just had a bad day and got beat by somebody having a good day? Or did it feel like this was sort of the story of our week and this is probably about where we're at right now?
For me, it was we got beat by a team that had a really good game. Because it's, you know, one of the things that it felt like no one gave up in that game. We didn't, you know what I mean? Like it was.
Yeah.
Everything was left out on there on the court.
Yep.
So, no, I think.
Yeah, the Aussies were full value. It wasn't fluky in how they did it.
No, they had a good game.
Yeah.
I even went up to Jenny afterwards after that game and I told her she played a fucking stellar game.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to crush her and I didn't crush her. I had a few balls clear her, but apparently the referees didn't agree that they were good.
Right.
So funny there's how that. Works.
Yeah.
But no, they played a stellar game. We need to be better than what we were. And I'm confident and I like to believe the rest of my teammates are confident in Peru and that we can get the job done.
I watched the second half of the tournament, you know, the last bit of the round robin, and
you watched the good half,
and yeah, and
featuring the
playoffs, featuring the quarterfinal, yeah. I gotta tell you, there was times, especially in that quarterfinal, where I felt like you were throwing as well as you had in years. Can you tell that while you're out on the court, or are you too in the moment, or too frustrated, or can you tell like I got it going today?
In that game, no, I didn't. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, like there's one of the videos that we posted on our Instagram. You can hear me in the background. Holy fuck! Right, like after you cooked one down there, and it just kind of gets tipped over the crossbar or whatever. Like it didn't go your way, but no different than any other sport where your starting goalie stops 50 of 51 and you lose 1-0. Right? Sometimes it just doesn't go your way, even though you're playing well or the team is playing well. A starting pitcher goes 8 innings a shutout ball and the closer blows it, right? Like sometimes you can have it going even if the team does, or did you sort of feel like you were more where the team was at?
No, I didn't really pay much attention to it during the tournament, like during the actual game.
Yeah.
But when I always reflect on how the game went and everything afterwards.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I really think I had a good tournament.
Yeah.
I came out with 27 or 28 of our 39 goals.
Yeah.
So
just a huge percentage.
Exactly.
The
so
offense
I mean,
you're carrying.
So obviously I was happy with that. And then there is that slight frustration when you can hear, we call it a bully ball.
Yeah.
A lot of the times where you can hear it hitting people and then it's going all over the place, but you're not hearing the double whistle.
Yeah.
And so that right there is insanely frustrating. But
for people who aren't super familiar with the sport, what Amy's talking to is sometimes something that's a little chunky or whatever, and the way it hits the opposition, because she's under an eye shade, that sounds like it's up and over them and going in. Or that sounds like it's tipped off them and is going in. But it just goes out. Or it just goes over or whatever. And
it stops just before the goal line because they're pouncing on it.
Right. But it has that sound. And you're almost waiting for a half second for that extra whistle. And it doesn't come. And so, you know, when you're down at the other end, you know you're causing havoc for your opponent. But it's just not going in.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was definitely at times in that Australia game where that is happening in my mind, where I'm conscious of, you know, what's going on down there and how it's not ending how I'd like it to. And, you know, you can slowly hear the clock ticking down in your own head. So, I mean, it sucks. But I mean, obviously the quarterfinal is the game we had to win, but I do think after the quarter, we had to play two games the next day to at least determine where we were going to finish between fifth and eighth. Yeah. Look at me. I can count four. So, I mean, you take out that, quarterfinal shabackle. Is that a word?
Nope.
All right. Trademarking it.
Okay.
Shabackle.
Show titled.
Shabackle. take away that. And I think, I mean, we played really well the last two games that we, in our mind, were must wins. Like it was, we lost our quarter, but here we're going to use this next game, face it as if it's a semi.
Right.
And then we won that. And then we were using our 5th-6th game as if, like, we were preparing as if it was a gold medal game.
So after the quarterfinal, everyone who won those games, the top four, go on to play in semifinals, and
the four
then for gold and bronze, the people who lost those games play in another set of basically semis and then little finals afterwards to determine rankings, because based on how things shake out from here, those placement can be important in terms of who's getting into to Tokyo. So, you know, this has been a thing for a long time, and this is the last thing probably I want to ask you about Fort Wayne. We see in a lot of sports, both Canadian and American teams struggle to get up for games after you're eliminated. And we see it at the World Juniors, we see it in Olympic hockey or things like that. When you're out in the Stanley Cup, you're just done. When you are out in Olympic hockey in a semifinal, whatever, you have to go play a bronze medal game or whatever. And Canadians and Americans, because we don't have the same tournament structures in our sports that they do in other parts of the world, we have always found it really hard to get amped up and go, this is still important, and find that same energy. I'm in this to win it. But you guys had to. You needed to still whip the horse to get as high a seed as you could coming out of this tournament, even if you weren't going to get a medal, so that potentially you could get in. Do you find it hard to get up for a game like that after you've technically been eliminated?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I honestly thought, because where we finished in our pool and the other three teams that lost their semis, or quarter,
yeah.
I figured, because we would have been first. If you re-rank those, we would have been first. So
In that next group of four.
Yes. In the group of four losers.
Right.
We were the next.
You're the best loser.
Yes, exactly.
Top loser.
Yes. Yay, us. Yeah. So I actually thought we were right into the 5-6 place game.
Right.
I didn't realize we had to
win a game just to get to play for that high.
Yes. So it was in our dressing room afterwards. I was like, well, at least we get to play another game to be the best loser out of the four.
Yeah.
And then I happened to look at the schedule and we need to play two games to try to be the best loser out of whatever. So
when really you're just looking to go drown your sorrows and get the hell home.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And so finding out that we had two games to play really sucked.
Yeah.
So that really did suck.
Right.
But it was, I mean, we all knew that if we couldn't qualify out of this tournament, we had to finish as high as we possibly could. And that in this situation was fifth place. So we had to win our next two games.
Like, yeah.
And that's why we prepared as if it was a semi. And then, you know, we beat Denmark. I think it was 10-4.
Yeah. And then had to play Britain.
And then we prepared for that game as if it were a gold medal game.
Right. Yeah. And those are little things that coaches try and that athletes try and whatever to force yourself to get up for it. This still means something. But it's always in the back of your head that it's not quite as, you know, were you able to shut all that out? Or do you still kind of, is there points in those games where you're just, fuck, right? Like,
no, for me, no, it was, I want it to win.
Yeah.
I was furious that we weren't playing on Tuesday.
Right.
Which
was the bronze medal games.
They were on the Tuesday. The placement games were on the Monday.
Yeah.
So I was furious that we weren't playing on the Tuesday. I had full expectations in doing that.
Yeah.
So it was if I couldn't finish first or second, there was no way in hell I was finishing any lower than fifth.
If I got to play the schlubs, I'm going to be king of the schlubs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Damn, did we put a statement on that.
Exactly. Yeah, not too bad at all. So you come out of there, finished in fifth place. I don't want to get too bogged down on how all the regions work, because for a lot of people, they're not going to want to follow
it. It's confusing and it's annoying.
But there is a chance that based on how some of the teams who finished ahead of you at this tournament, if they win other tournaments, they would grab different spots to qualify. And the fact that you got as high as fifth could help you down the road if you are not successful in Peru to still find a way in. So those games, that's why they were important. You've got Peru right in front of you. These are the Pan Am games, which means you're taking on only teams from the Americas. So the USA, Brazil, El Salvador. Are they there?
Colombia? El Salvador, no. Peru, I want to say Chile?
Could be.
I'm trying to think back to our schedule.
Yeah.
Peru's obviously there.
So you have in this tournament some haves and some have-nots in terms of, you know, the Americans and the Brazilians are very, very good. You guys are good, and the teams below you are sort of developing nations that, you know, maybe if they had a good day could take somebody down, but are probably in a different class. Is that a fair way to set that out?
Yeah. Yeah, I know it is. Well, because, I mean, you have us, USA, Brazil.
Yeah.
Which are, we're the top three American teams.
Yeah.
America's
yeah.
teams. I've never seen Peru.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those you're hosting.
Because they're hosting. Yeah. yeah.
Not to take anything away from Peru. I mean, I honestly have
sure.
no idea about them. Yeah. Mexico is usually the next best,
right.
I believe.
Right.
And Costa Rica.
Yeah, they were in Toronto.
Yeah, because yeah. I've never played Costa Rica, which, see, I've never played it, a pair of Pan Ams.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't remember how Costa Rica was.
Not very good.
Yeah.
But that was 4 years ago. We'll see.
Anything can happen in 4 years.
Of course. Anybody can have a good day. Anybody can have a bad day. That's sort of how these things shake loose. Essentially, for you to qualify, Brazil is in no matter what. They got a spot at World Championships, so they're qualified for Tokyo 2020. The Americans got a spot at this last tournament, but would prefer to have the spot from this tournament. It will be higher up in the rankings, give you a better seed when they go to do pools. But they're in whether they qualify here or not. You are not in right now, and so have to finish essentially ahead of the USA to get in. If you finish ahead of Brazil but not USA, that doesn't help you. You have to, no matter where it is, whether it's gold, silver, bronze, fifth, whatever. Well, no, actually. You have to be at least second. Is that right? You have to beat the Americans.
Yes. Yes. And Costa Rica, Peru, and Mexico.
Right. So you have to keep all those guys behind you and beat
them. We can finish second as long as Brazil is ahead of us.
But no lower.
Exactly.
Right. Because if you finish third and the Americans finish fourth and Costa Rica finishes second, Costa Rica's got the spot and you're out.
Exactly.
So it's a little funny how these things work. Where do you feel like your game is at going in? You know the two big teams that you're going to have to take down. Where's your confidence level at, you know, with your team and with your own personal game?
I'm for sure confident. I've had, I'm not disappointed in my play in Fort Wayne. I thought I played relatively well.
I thought that too.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
So some other people thought that also.
Okay.
It was just, there was some...
I don't care about them.
There was just some shitty technical shit that we had to figure out after Fort Wayne, and I think we have a handle on it. I have full confidence that we can do it. I believe our team has full confidence that they can do it, that we can do it. And, I'm not a betting man. I suck at gambling.
You're not a man.
I'm not a man either.
So
I'm falling in that category, but I don't know. I mean, I think we'll do well.
So you're feeling pretty good going in. I wonder, these things, because they're multi-sport and are Olympic qualifiers for a lot of things, you know, you've talked on this show before what it's like at an Olympics or a Paralympics, opening and closing ceremonies, there's a village, there's things like that. Can you kind of, now having been to two of these but not participated in any, kind of compare, you know, they try to do the same things. There will be an opening ceremony, things like that, but it's all scaled way down. Does it feel at all like the real thing, or does it always feel a little, you know, cheesy or whatever?
No, it totally feels like the real thing.
Yeah.
It, like, so for we have, I believe, 7 of the men and women that are partaking in the goalball event.
Yes.
7 of them. I think they should include me too as making their Pan Am debut.
I saw that you're not considered a leader, according to the article. Yeah, the women's team will be led by someone else.
Well, and I think that's because I wasn't in
you
Toronto.
Haven't played. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, it's the whole atmosphere. Like, they literally, you definitely do not see it scaled down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like the Canadian Paralympic Committee do a fantastic job of making it feel like it's the real thing. And I mean, to them, it is, this is a
very... it's the second biggest sporting event of their year.
Yeah.
Or their quadrennial.
Yes. So, I mean, they do an awesome job with the whole Canadian what's the word?
Delegation.
Delegation. I was going to say diligency. Sure. That is,
well,
not,
they're
it.
Very diligent too.
They are very diligent. Yes. Yes. But I mean, it's just, it feels so, I can't remember much of Guad, to be honest. I don't know if that was because it was,
you're
almost 8
silly.
Years ago, or if it was the concussion. I felt like I was drunk the whole time.
Well, if you're not playing.
That's true.
Might as well be.
Everyone thought I had a concussion, really. I was
yeah, just hammered on tequila.
Tequila.
But, like, Toronto was just huge because I think because we were the home nation, right? And Toronto, it would just, it felt so legit. And
well, they did a nice job in Toronto. I went down to watch that as well, right? And between the ceremonies that they put together and the venues and everything, it was run pretty top-notch. All kinds of new facilities put in that will benefit athletes in the long term, and, you know, with the pool and the velodrome and stuff like that, right? These are, you know, a big deal. Amy's let the cat out of the bag. What are you sipping on over there today?
Oh, this is a Creemore. It's kind of been my guilty pleasure lately.
I'm surprised by that just a little bit because, you know, you've been all over the place on a few different things. And mostly during competition, it's always been light stuff and whatever else. But now the last little while, the Creemore has been your go-to.
Yeah, I don't know why. There's something about it.
So we had to make sure we had a few of those stocked in the studio
visit. If you're going to have a beer every now and then, it's not a bad idea to have a good one.
A beer. I don't know anything about scaling it down to that level, so you'll have to be the expert there. I can have whatever I want because I know the next one's not too far down the line.
Well, what are you drinking?
I'm still into the keg that we have there from the Vimy Brewing Company here in Ottawa. They have a lovely stout that I've now had 3 or 4 kegs of since Christmas, to be honest with you. And
like of the stout one?
Yeah. And I messaged the guys who run the thing, and I think we're going to be able to have them on in the fall, which is going to be cool. They're Oshawa guys who moved up here, which is obviously close to my heart. A couple of Oshawa Generals fans and whatever. So we're going to have them in, talk a little sports, talk a little about their brewery. But
from the dirty Shaw.
Schwa, you Schwa. Fool. Show some respect for the Schwallywood. I messaged them the other day and I said, I'm looking for another keg. I'm probably ready to branch out a little. What else do you got ready to go other than the stout? And I really, if I'm being honest, I was looking for the red because they make a really nice red. But they said they had the cream. They had something else. And I was just like, I'm just going to stick with the stout. And they're like, we hear you. It'll be waiting for
you. So, where's your sense of adventure?
You're looking at it. 3 or 4
like
kegs of stout is an adventure, man. So yeah, Vimy Brewing Company. Give them a little bit of your business if you're in the Ottawa area. They're in the LCBOs and stuff like that, as well as they have a pretty cool little facility. You can go over and try their stuff, and they have like trivia nights and things like that while you're sampling. So they got a good setup. Since we have an athlete in studio, we should get off the beer talk and talk back to a little bit about what's going on. Toronto, as you mentioned, did it up really nice. I don't know how you felt about attendance for the Para Pan Am side. It wasn't bad. But legacy-wise, it left a bunch of venues, which was terrific. Peru, and maybe it's just because it's so far away or it's not a big country. This has all felt a little less hyped, I guess.
Yeah.
And part of that is because it's not, you know, this feels every bit as hyped as Guadalajara did, because the last one was Toronto.
And that's exactly it. I think because it's coming on the heels of Toronto.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we went from promoting everything.
Yes.
To the team. I think it was like every second day in the last month, a team was announced on who was representing each sport. And,
But that doesn't, as you've said, that doesn't translate down to you. To you, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to wear the red and white and I'm going to try and get qualified for Tokyo, fuck whether it's being hyped or not.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even heard yet if there's going to be streaming of our sports, so I'm guessing that there's not going to be.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't care. I mean, it sucks for everybody back at home, but to me, it's as much as you want things to be promoted. You want you want everything to be public, you know. You want to try to promote the Paralympic movement,
yeah.
And there's not much there, But at this point, I don't care. I have a job I have to go do, and I'm going to go frickin' try and do it.
Yeah.
That's my mom language kicking in there. Frickin'.
It's nice that it kicks in here when the kids aren't here and often forgets to kick in when they are.
It's not foolproof yet.
No. No, it's tough. Your kids are going to grow up talking way more like you than like their father, for sure. I wonder, you know, we've talked about this before a few times. I think it's worth touching on here because I'm thoroughly impressed. You know, I think where I stand on women in sport and my support for it. But there are extra challenges that go along with it. And we've talked about how you had to take a year off when you had Lucas, had to take a year off when you had Ryan, the struggles with coming back and this and that. But there are other things that go along with it. And I wonder, you know, as you go through something like Fort Wayne, where things go off the rails a little and it doesn't go the way you want, do you ever allow yourself to think, you know, I could have been at home with my boys or, you know, because you missed Lucas's birthday this time. You're coming home, what, the day before he starts back to school?
Yeah.
So,
oh, that makes me so sad.
Well, at least you'll be there for the day.
Yeah, Ryan made me miss it last year.
Yeah, Ryan was born on the day that Lucas started his first day of junior kindergarten last year.
He
so.
Was born the day before, but we were still right. in the hospital the next day.
Right. So,
oh, it was so sad.
You've had, you
I
know.
I cried by myself because Tyler left to bring him to school, and I was just crying in the hotel room.
The hotel room.
The nice. Yeah. We have a nice hospital.
Obviously. So it's like, you know, there are extra sacrifices that go along with it. And while you're doing your thing and while you're on the court, I have no doubt that's where your focus is. But are there moments, you know, where you're, this is harder than it used to be or harder than I thought it would be?
Yeah. Fort Wayne was hard because now that Lucas is older.
Yeah.
He
misses mom.
Well, and he understands what's going on. And it's not just like Ryan where he, you know, he can close his eyes and the next minute I'm either there or I'm not there.
Right.
And he doesn't understand time and day and
sure.
everything like that. So for him right now, it's easy. But now that Lucas is five.
He notices mom's been gone for a while.
Yeah. And I, you know, I would get the, oh, you're making me sad. I'd get the phone calls and it'd be like, you know, when are you coming home? Or I miss you and you should be home now and you've been gone too long. And so
and those are just coming from me. Forget what Lucas is doing.
So
hey, me.
Just get home already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, those are for sure hard. But I mean, I know that he's home with Tyler and Tyler tries to do a lot of fun things with them when
right.
I'm not home to try to help occupy the time and whatnot. But no, it definitely, does suck when we're away and he's sad or something, you know, like I was flying home on his fifth birthday and he was in bed. I didn't get home till close to midnight. So
right.
he was obviously in bed.
Well, just this last week, right? He lost two teeth.
His he
first
did.
Two. And there is first two. And in theory, it's not a big deal. But if you'd have been away, you'd have felt like,
oh,
yeah, I've
well,
missed
you know
a.
What? I am almost confident Ryan's going to start walking while I'm not home.
Yeah, he's
and
right
that
there,
sucks.
Eh?
He is so
he's
close
right
to
there.
It. And I'm pushing
You've
him hard.
Yelling him all week to take those first steps.
I'm trying to get him, but as soon as he stands up, he just goes like, nah, I'll sit back down. But he's 100% going to be walking before I get home, or at least has will
yeah.
have
well,
already taken
Well, and that one is a bigger
step.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that one's going to suck for sure, but I've already lectured Tyler to make sure his phone is on him nonstop because I want to see video of his first steps.
So the last time when you went to Fort Wayne, your mom had come up and, you know, so Tyler could work and you could go and do whatever. How's it look this time? Is Tyler having to take
Daddy's
holidays?
Daddy's taking 2 weeks vacation.
Wow.
So I think he's excited.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Because he gets 2 weeks vacation. But yeah, apparently he likes vacationing when I'm at home.
Yeah, weird. No doubt.
Weird.
Spend a little time with his wife.
Well, and he's essentially going on vacation to watch the kids for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, which we talked about with your mom, right?
Yeah.
She came all the way up. Doesn't really get to visit you. It's here to look
Hello.
After the...
kitties
yeah so it's there are people around you constantly working to help make these things happen and you know it is nice that you know while maybe you won't be there to help get them ready the night before you'll at least be home for the first day of school, right?
Oh, I get home in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's obvious it's a holiday here. But so nothing will be open. We'll be able to go out for dinner
and
things.
You know,
but
your flight's going to be delayed.
Well, actually, I know I'm going to miss the connection.
Yeah, okay.
But because I don't actually
just not
know.
A direct Ottawa to Lima?
No, I have to go through Toronto. Of course. But you because do. There's a flight every hour, I should at least be on another one shortly after. I'm supposed to get home, I think, at 2,
right.
Maybe 1.
Right.
Maybe 2. I don't remember.
Right.
Midday anyway, so before bedtime. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, right, that these things don't get considered quite as much with male athletes. Fathers would still certainly hate to miss the first day of school or hate to whatever. But it's, for some reason, we still just view it different when it's mom, right? And I think mom's probably hurt a little more by missing this sort of thing. And
well, yeah, we're sappy little buggers. At least I am. I cried when he lost his first tooth.
You cry about everything.
And then he cried.
You cry when Ross and Rachel finally get together.
So do you.
Well, speaking of Facebook memories, put up the other day
who's
was
calling the kettle black now?
It was your rap name is Young. And then the last thing that made you cry. So my rap name was Young Rachel Got Off the Plane.
Sorry, but I need to get off the plane, okay? I need to just tell someone that I love them.
Miss, I can't let you off the plane.
Let her off the plane!
I am afraid you are going to have to take your seat.
Oh, please, miss, you don't understand.
Try to understand.
Oh, come on, miss, isn't there any way that you can just let me off the...
No! No! Oh my God! Did she get off the plane? Did she get off the plane?
I got off the plane.
She got off the plane.
So that picture.
Young
that.
Lost his tooth.
Yeah, exactly. Young tooth. That's not a bad rap name, to be honest with you. So I think it's an interesting thing, and we get this a lot. We got some feedback from your last visit, you know, with people who were extremely motivated by your, you know, what you're doing and your story. And, you know, we always get these little notes of people who love when you come on and talk about what you're doing, right? And I know sometimes you're hesitant to do it. You don't always love being the center of attention or you worry about being egotistical or whatever. But I think it pushes things in the right direction to sit down in an environment like this and just talk about what you're doing. And to people who don't know anything about the Paralympic movement, it's just a normal woman out doing her job, right? And working hard and whatever. There's this stigma sometimes around the Paralympics that those people are
lazy.
Well, no, not even lazy. I was just going to say different. Like, they don't live normal lives.
Well, I am different.
Here we are sitting here having a beer, and you've got two kids at home and, you know, things like that. Just somebody out there trying to do her thing and just happens to be on a different stage, right? Like,
watch me do my thing.
That was something else. I may have a new ringtone. I think the last thing we'll talk about here.
Sup, girl?
That might be my new ring.
I'm in a good mood today.
I'm getting that from you for sure. I'm trying to match you, but it's hard to get up there. I think the last thing we're going to talk about is an article that I sent you that it was kind of summarizing a different piece, but this was from a Journal of Musical Thing, which is Alan Cross's website. Rob and I are both big fans. You can follow Alan Cross on Twitter or just visit.
I should do that.
A Journal of Musical Things is the website. And there's always, it's mostly music stuff, but it's current events stuff, it's tech stuff, it's whatever. He's got a good website going. For people who recognize that name, he's the host of the ongoing History of New Music, which is a show on Sunday nights on a bunch of radio stations across Canada. It's also a podcast, really interesting. He put up an article that was What Canadians Are Using Their Tech For, I believe was the headline. Or you've got it there on your phone, I believe, in case I've got that wrong.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. Oh, Homer.
What's happening over there?
fine.
They have the internet on computers now.
Yes. Okay. It says the Journal of Musical Things.
Yeah.
And then there's a meme of Homer.
Yes. And of him says, saying, oh, they have
the internet on computers now.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now.
I just watched that episode the other day.
Oh, I haven't watched The Simpsons in forever.
I have seasons 3 through 9 downloaded because they're the best ones. And so then I can just go back and watch good episodes.
I haven't watched a new one in years.
No, they stink. They've been balls.
But then it's just here are the results of a fascinating study of how Canadians use the internet.
Well, why don't we take a stroll through it quickly and we'll react to what's worth reacting to and what we're not. What was the number one thing that Canadians are using the internet for?
Just 15% of us are off the grid for a week or more.
Can you remember the last time you haven't had internet connection for at least a week?
You travel a lot. Poland was pretty close.
Yeah.
We didn't really have anything there. I paid to keep my phone on and it was balls. Like, bad. I remember sitting in a stairwell trying to get data service. Yeah, it was bad.
So that was, I don't know, that was before Rio for you. So 2016.
Yeah.
For me, I couldn't tell you the last time I've been offline that, and I think it might break me. And that's a terrible thing to have to say about myself, but I use Twitter all the time. Obviously, I put these shows together and monitor them and everything through the internet. My parents have sold their palatial cottage, the really nice one that...
There's no cell service there, right? I remember
We would leave our phones for a while in the window. Like, yeah. The front window in the driveway was called the communication center. And there would be, like, 6 BlackBerries set up in 2010.
I remember back when I had a BlackBerry. Yeah.
We would all set them there.
There's a pile of phones just on the windowsill.
That's right. But after that, we did get... They called it high speed. It was medium-ish speed internet on Wi-Fi. And so it was all right. You could disconnect enough for a vacation, but you could go still check your email and tweet if you wanted to or whatever, right? But they've sold that and now just have a small cabin in the same area, no Wi-Fi, no whatever. And they want me to come see it. And I'm like, I don't think I can disconnect for a couple of days.
I don't think I can do it.
And you're
know what? I actually, that is one of the things
you
I love.
You could do it.
Well, I could. It's one of the things I love about going to PEI. I basically put
PEI
my...
PEI doesn't have cell service.
Well, they do. But I literally, every time I go, I don't know what it is. I put my phone down and that's it.
You could do it.
Oh, I totally do it.
Well, you could do it.
I'm going to do it in November.
You didn't do it on vacation. You posted the same picture during your last one-day vacation.
That was because we had free Wi-Fi.
Every girl posts.
Yeah.
Here's me...
With
looking
my
at a
feet
pool
at the beach or
and
the pool.
Yeah, the bottom of my legs and my feet out tanning or whatever, which you can't tan very well.
No, I did that one as a joke because Tyler and I were making fun of those people. But that was the only resort I ever posted anything because it was free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could disconnect for a week. I would feel...
A week would be hard.
I would feel disoriented.
Sure.
Like, I could go and not... be on it much, but I would need to feel like at night if I wanted to, I could
bored.
Go check what was going on or, you know, to never be able to. I think I'm too tied up in it now. What's number two over there?
20% of Canadians say they haven't gone more than 8 hours without being online. I do that pretty frequently.
Go 8 hours though? Well, yeah. I sleep for 8 hours a night.
Well, it's true, but if you, I think it counts awake time.
Yeah.
I do too. I go to bed at 9, wake up at 6. Sometimes 5. That's like 9 hours.
Yeah. On average, though, you don't. On average, you don't go 8 hours without... You'll check something, a text or your Facebook.
Oh, this is counting texts.
Well,
I just assume it's the internet.
Okay, well, that's up for interpretation. We'll share the article at Talkin Audio on Twitter and at facebook.com/Talkin Audio. To me, I tie this into, do I use my phone, right? But you're right. It does sort of mean, do you check your Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever 8 hours? Like, actually browsing the web now, I do far less often than I used to. It's all just social media bullshit.
Ads.
Yes, a lot of ads.
I click a lot of ads.
Oh, you shouldn't click.
I know, because then
we're going to get to the malware stuff here shortly. But most days, you know, when I wake up in the morning, maybe I check my Twitter and my Facebook. At night, I definitely would again. Throughout the day, I check Twitter more often. Like, in an average day, I don't go 8 hours without being online.
But you could.
I think I could. I think I could.
I think you could.
Yeah. I think so. Because often people just really piss me off. Like, I went months where I had deleted the Facebook app from my phone. I still had it. I could check it, obviously, on my computer. I had it on my iPad, which I sometimes dick around with while I'm watching TV at night. But I didn't like how much I was on it, you know. So I thought, just delete the app. It'll be less handy. I'll look at it less often. And that was good for me. I don't remember why I brought it back, but I wish I hadn't, for being honest. So yeah, but I think day-to-day, most... Hit me with that stat again. 20% don't go.
20% of Canadians say they haven't gone more than 8 hours without being online.
Okay, that's a really low number, right? To say they haven't gone that long. That means 80% can go 8 hours.
That's true.
Being
yeah,
online,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was actually reading that as a high number. 20% isn't that high.
No, not really. What's number three?
About 75% say they spend 3 to 4 hours online each day.
That's high.
3 to 4 hours is high, yeah.
Yeah. What's the percentage of people?
75%.
Say they spend 3 to 4 hours. Yeah, that's high. But I bet you're closer to it than you think.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Because even if you just open Instagram for a quick second and you just scroll through, that's probably like 45 seconds. You do that.
A minute here and there on Twitter, a minute here and there on Instagram, a minute here or there on Facebook, a couple times a day, and it starts to add up. Then there's the times you're actually looking at it and engaging with it.
And then there's the Snapchat.
The Google searches on this and that.
Look your Bitmoji stories. I look at that every night.
I don't know what that even is.
You need a Bitmoji for it.
Will you make me a Bitmoji?
I don't know how to do it.
Do you have a Bitmoji?
I do. I had people help me do it.
Okay.
I think Emma helped me.
It sounds like something that all the cool kids have.
Well, Tyler has a Bitmoji now.
Yeah.
I
did Emma help him make it?
No, I did.
You download
like the Bitmoji app. You make your own character.
Is this like they send you those videos from Apple for Lucas?
Except it's you. It's you.
Yeah, but I've done one where it's cartoon me.
Yes, yeah. It's essentially, yeah, it's an emoji you, and then on Snapchat they do Bitmoji stories.
So 95% of Canadians spend 12 hours a day doing Bitmoji.
Yes.
Okay, so 36-year-old Matt doesn't even know what that is, so that's not something that's using up my internet time. But I do, I've become more and more like your husband, where the second something crosses my mind, like, I wonder what Peru's top export is. Like, I should go and look that up right now. I wonder.
Oh, that is so Tyler. It drives me nuts.
Does listening to podcasts count as being online?
See, I'm going to say no.
See, to me, it does. Like, where did that come from? The internet.
I guess so.
Like, you're not actively sitting there reading it, but while I'm going downtown or whatever on the bus, I have a podcast playing. While I'm getting ready in the morning, I have a podcast playing.
What about an audiobook?
Or music. I'm streaming from Spotify. That's internet usage.
I feel like we need to figure out what this means.
Yeah, but I bet you most people are far closer than they think.
Well, I mean, especially if you're including music and podcasts and...
And I am.
...books and all that fun stuff.
So what do we got next over there?
Are we on three? That was three. 75% go online while we're watching TV.
I do that all the time. In fact, I use Twitter more during hockey games or baseball games than literally any other time.
What if you're just watching Friends?
No. Well, Friends, again, that's a bad one because it's reruns and I don't need to pay attention. If it's something new that I'm like actually engaged in, but Friends is almost background noise, right?
Because I feel like sports is different too, though, because you're probably doing a lot of like TML talk. And
yes, I'm talking to other fans. I'm talking to listeners of the show about what's happening. Yeah, so there's a lot of engagement there. If it's a new show that I'm actively engaged in, like if I had cared about the Game of Thrones finale, I would not have been tweeting during that like so many people were. That's not my deal.
Finale already?
Oh, yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
But that number, 75%, that seems about right to me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that number at all.
No. What else we got?
46% of Canadians admit to using their phone in the bathroom.
Would you like to talk to us about
them?
Yeah, for sure you are.
100% I can commit to that.
You know what's interesting to me? With that one being 46%.
I think a lot of people are lying.
I was going to say, I think like it's close to half the population as are women. And women have to sit down to do everything. Like, whereas I don't have time. If I'm standing up to have a whiz, I got to point stuff. I can't be holding my phone and written up. Plus, I'd be afraid of dropping it. I think that's mostly women.
You think, eh? Well, men have to poop too.
Yes,
though.
They do. And I
find men poop a lot longer than women, though.
They hang out on the pooper longer. You're probably right there. I'm not one of these guys. And this isn't something I'm lying about. I don't want to.
You don't bring your phone to the bathroom?
No, not really. Now, if I'm going to go shower or something, I'll put music on my phone and maybe set it on the counter. Or I'm one of those guys, like I sing in the shower. But no, for what they're referring to, that while you're sitting on the john, I don't need my phone out during that. But I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that it's as low as it is.
Yeah,
I think
too.
A lot of people text from the...
At least 60%.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah.
That's probably right. And this is one of the reasons I saved this topic for you.
Because I like to poop and text.
Well, I was gonna say you're a big time pee and text kind of girl.
Not so much peeing, because I have to get, well, now my house is a zoo, so I mean,
you got little guys running around.
Well, and I can't pee with the door closed, so I have a cat and a dog and a baby and
lots of people coming to visit.
It's just so much going on while I'm trying to pee.
What else we got over there?
Okay, that was that one. 51% of us use laptops or desktops to go online, while 34% uses phones and 14% use tablets. Less than 1% use smart speakers for going online.
I don't know what that last part means.
I think it's like, hey, Google.
Could be.
My phone just went.
Yeah. But like, I use my smart speakers all the time for music and podcasts, but is that going online or is it asking it to look something up?
See, and that's why I feel like the music and podcasts don't count.
Okay, yeah, because 1% is really low. Otherwise, that would be a lot higher. I have a desktop and a laptop. I use them mostly for work, like putting these shows together and stuff like that. I very rarely use them to search the web. Now, if I'm on them to do something else, to return emails, this and that, then maybe I'll look something up. But even if I'm sitting here with the audio editing stuff open to put together one of these shows,
you'll
and something crosses my, I will. My phone's beside me and I'll Google there, or I'll look something up there rather than do it on my desktop. And there was a time where I would find the opposite to be more convenient, to just do it on my computer. But for some reason, I feel like I've gotten quicker, or it's...
Well, and I think for me, like you, I have a desktop, laptop, and smartphone.
Yeah.
And our desktop is in the basement, which I used to only use to send training reports.
Right.
Now it essentially sits out online for Tyler to do something with his pay stubs.
Okay.
Or when I have to scan like long ass documents.
Sure.
And then we have a laptop, which we bought last year when I went back to do some upgrading course stuff. Yep. So that was for school, and then training. Now the laptop's for training reports. And my smartphone, my phone is literally to Google everything.
Yeah.
And I think for me, because of the pinch zoom.
Yeah.
So I can make it all as big as I want. And I mean, I always have magnifier on my laptop anyway.
Right.
But no, I don't know. I think because I can hold it right there in front of my face.
Yeah.
And
oh, there's something about that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff you can just scan now and whatever. It's more convenient on your phone. And the tablet thing, when it first started, seemed like it was going to be a big deal. It was going to be the future of computing, and it just didn't turn out to be.
No,
that.
It didn't. Like, we have a tablet, and we essentially use our tablet for Netflix when traveling. That's it.
Like, we're running part of this podcast through an iPad Pro here. I have another iPad that remarkably is like 6 or 7 years old that is just hanging on. And basically all I use it for is like Kindle reading now, because it's so slow on everything else. But it's still hanging tough, right? Like, it's... And for a while, it was my sit in front of the TV and watch, you know, look up stats if I was watching something or whatever. But it sucked to tweet, like to type out something on your tablet unless you had like a physical keyboard.
Which for some stinks. Reason seems harder than
it
a
is.
Phone. Yeah,
it is harder.
I think because you're...
I think that's part of the reason it never took off. It's great, like you said, for watching Netflix or even... Like I can type enough to go to a website or something, but I don't want to reply to messages and tweets and stuff on a tablet. It's hard. Like,
well, and we have one of the, I know you're a big Apple user. We're Samsung in our house.
Yeah.
And we had one of the high-end Samsung tablets.
Right.
And now it's essentially shit because the charging port's crap. So it's Lucas's tablet now for Netflix watching when we're on planes.
Did you notice So Samsung, and you know, you used to come on and do some of our tech shows. You may have to again in September after the Apple event, because Apple and Samsung always do one, like one August, one September, and then you get to stack up. So hold on.
I think I know what you're going to say.
So the headphone jack has disappeared from the Samsung Galaxy Note.
Yes.
You have, I think, the newest Galaxy S.
I Galaxy S 10 Plus.
Which is the newest, Plus, right? It Plus. Came out in like February or something?
Yeah.
I assume when they get back around in February to the S11, that's dropping the headphone jack too.
Yep,
that's fine. I hated that Apple did it. I kind of get it. Look, they say they did it to make the phone slimmer. It didn't need to be slimmer. It was fine, right?
No, like, but there's idiots out there that are like, oh, I have this.
It's got to be paper thin and this and that. Here's where it really makes me crazy is that Apple has taken it out of their tablets. Like, come on. That's half of what it's for. Again, it's like, is it Netflix or whatever? Fuck that. It's coming, but yes, fuck that. But tablets are media consumption devices, and it didn't need to be thinner either. Like, they're always going to be big. You had room to leave a headphone jack in a tablet. The only reason I bring this up is because Samsung mocked Apple in a pile of ads.
Oh, they mocked
Samsung
them a lot.
People ripped Apple people. And now that it's gone, and it will be gone on the S11 Galaxy as well, quietly, Samsung has taken down all those commercials where they mocked Apple. And
they removed every single one.
Every trace of making fun of. And if they'd just, for the year or two extra that they were going to keep it, just been quiet about it. And even as a pro, like, you don't have to bash Apple, but just say, we're the company that kept the headphone jack until you stopped. But when you ripped the competition, now you looked bad, right? Now you look stupid.
But I mean, in their defense, because I mean, that was part of the reasons why I never went to Samsung or Apple, because of the headphone jack.
Sure.
But, and I'm going to be annoyed when I don't have it, but I mean, I use Bluetooth headphones now.
Well, I think a lot of people do.
And I think that's why now they have also switched, unless they really want to have the paper-thin phone. I didn't watch anything on the Note. All I know is I don't have a headphone jack.
Right.
And that you can get some Galaxy Buds if you pre-order. That's all I know.
Yeah, no, and that's part of it. But somebody had to be first, right?
Yep.
To push the Bluetooth thing and push whatever.
And I mean, when Apple tried it, it just seemed stupid.
Well, and Apple also framed it stupidly when they said, we're brave enough to do it. Like, you're not brave enough. It's not
you're
that.
Just you're just trying
something new. Yeah, exactly. Don't try and paint it as being a leader.
But yeah, no, I was laughing at that last night, actually, how they took away everything.
Every trace that they had ripped Apple for, it was like, no, we never said that. Like, come on.
I never once thought this was a stupid idea.
Anything else over there? I know there was a few more. Not all of them were as interesting, but...
What's this? Where were we? Were we on the bathroom one?
Yeah.
Phone in the bed. Oh, no, it was the laptop, desktop, blah, 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 blah.
That's right.
10% of Canadians say they found their spouse online. I didn't find mine online.
No, but I actually find that number a little low.
Me too, because every time you see like the, I can't even, Plenty of Fish, eHarmony, one of the Canadian ones.
It's not even just that anymore. It's even like you could be playing Yahtzee against somebody online and you get to chatting or whatever. Like, you're right, it is more the dating apps and stuff. But those have become so common. And I actually know two couples who have gotten married that did meet online.
I'd be scared shitless.
No, but that don't say that's where they met. Like, they are still embarrassed that that's how they... And I think that stigma largely needs to be gone. Like, people are doing okay with it.
Well, to me, it's no different than meeting someone in a bar.
Like, who cares where you met them? But, like, it worked out for these people, and they still don't say that that's where they met.
They're wieners.
A little bit.
Do I know them?
One of them.
You can call them a wiener.
Yep, I will. Okay. I'll make sure to text them right away and just say, Amy says you're a wiener. Leave it at that. No explanation.
Yeah, just that's it. You're a wiener.
Yeah, but I still think that number is low based on the way we live right now. Even you mentioned the actual dating services, but you can also look at just things like Tinder and Bumble and whatever.
Oh, well,
else.
Tinder's not a dating site, though.
You'd be surprised how many people end up.
Yeah.
I know that's not what it's for.
I would like to see that number.
Well, I'll check into it for you.
Someone should find that stat. Yeah. How many Tinder people stay together?
But it's not
after.
Zero. That's all I'm saying. Like, you end up finding somebody who rocks your world, and you're like, yeah, I should see what else that guy's got going on or whatever.
What
right?
kind
like,
of job does he
exactly.
have?
Exactly. Maybe this is going to work out. So, no, you're right. They're not meant to be dating long-term relationship apps, but sometimes it pans out that way. And we're just so online all the time. you met somebody on Twitter that you started talking to all the time. Eventually you met up, and I think 10% shocked me. Maybe not shocked, but surprised me with how low it was.
It's almost as surprising as the bathroom one,
okay.
To be honest, because I feel like the bathroom one should be way higher. I feel like people are just embarrassed. I poop and text people.
That's all right.
Good guarantee. If you're getting a text from me,
every single text Amy has ever sent has come from the toilet.
Oh, that's where I send my best text.
Do my best thinking. Good and relaxed there. I got a little peace. I think that was all of the good ones, wasn't it?
Well, this one here, I'm not surprised about just because of the online world.
Yeah.
But 75% of Canadians are more comfortable buying something online from Canadian retailer versus 55% from the U.S. site.
That one, to me, stems almost entirely from Amazon. Like, Amazon.ca makes me feel like it's already in Canada, even though it's probably not. And anything Prime, especially from .ca, makes me feel good. Whereas .com, it's like, there might be an extra charge when it comes across the border, and I got to convert it from American dollars
but
to Canadian dollars.
But it's retail, though. Isn't retail clothing?
Well, retail is anything.
Anything. I see. I was
like, Best Buy is retail.
Yeah, okay, I suppose.
So again, like, you're just more familiar with your own brands, right? Like, FYE is a major electronics, or was, maybe it's gone under. It's like Best Buy in America, but we don't really know that brand.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you order from Best Buy, you know exactly what's coming and that they're reputable and they'll replace it or return it or whatever. But some of these other brands that maybe you're just not as familiar with, like, this feels sketchy yet. But that doesn't shock me that 75% feel more comfortable coming from a .ca than a .com?
No. It's just 75% of Canadians are more comfortable buying something online from a Canadian retailer versus 55% from a U.S. site.
Yeah, so .ca versus .com.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was thinking that I was reading it as Canadians buy more online than Americans.
No, it's more which side of the border they're coming from.
Oh, okay. In that
from.
Case, I agree with you now.
Okay.
Now
awesome.
That you explain that. Because I was like, I don't understand where you're coming from. Well, this is the malware. Malware.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
No, but this one. Okay. 30% think our devices are spying on us. I am in that 30%.
I think so too.
Oh my God, yeah.
I think so too.
I'll be sitting there having a conversation in my living room.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'm getting an ad on Facebook.
Yep. I think
it's
that
creepy.
Too.
And
yeah,
I
people
don't like
always
it.
Tell you that like it will come from what you're Googling or looking up. And I get that. Like
me too.
If I know that you're tracking me online, but I have seen it happen multiple times that something I've talked about is now being advertised to me, and I didn't check it out on my phone. I absolutely believe they're spying on us.
Yeah,
and,
no, me
like
too.
You said, I'm Apple, you're Samsung, so this is across the board, you know.
It's creepy, and I don't like it.
I bought a couple of beers when we were down in Fort Wayne from a company called Fat Tire, was the name of the brewery.
Cute.
And I'd never heard of it before, so bought a couple. Didn't get around to drinking them. I think we brought them back across the border with us. As soon as I got back, all over Facebook, I was seeing ads for Fat Tire Canada. A, which I didn't think was a thing. I'd never heard of it up here.
Probably picked up your location.
It doesn't matter. I never typed anywhere on my phone anything about Fat Tire. I get why it's now hitting me with the Canadian one, but how does it know I was ever talking about Fat Tire?
You said you went to the brewery though, right?
No, I went to a Target.
Oh, Target. Sorry. Oh,
I just bought some down there. I didn't go to their brewery.
Oh, okay,
I didn't do anything. I just talked about it with a couple of people, and all of a sudden I'm getting ads for it.
Yeah, that's creepy.
They're stalking us, man.
Trump.
It's not Trump. It's just gross Facebook and Google and whatever.
It's America.
I do love your enthusiasm for blaming them, but I think this is happening
but no,
to us too.
I don't even remember what I talked about with people, but there has been times where it was like a legit conversation.
I'm totally with you there, man.
And
totally with
and
you.
30 seems low to me.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people
unless
don't want to believe.
Stupid.
Well, there's that. But I think a lot of people don't want to believe it, so they don't, right? You just. I remember seeing a thing on, it was like a TED Talk, and people were referring to like how many.
Like Ted the Teddy Bear?
No, like TED Talks. They're like anyway, it was a presentation I saw on the internet, and people were talking about your privacy in terms of how many websites follow you at a time. And so this guy ran an experiment with his kid, who, like Lucas, had a tablet, right? Maybe a little older than Lucas. And the kid would just go to Disney.com while he was having breakfast. And then he would leave there and maybe go to whatever. We weren't even talking about the big guys like Facebook or whatever. It was stupid stuff the kids follow. And these little bubbles keep popping up on the screen for every time one of those websites is following you. And so to make it more poignant to people, he had a 5 or 6 year old kid walk across the stage and stop every 3 or 4 feet, and another 2 or 3 grown men would start following him.
Creepy.
Yes, because it is creepy. And it was a great way to make the point that if it actually looked like this, if you actually were aware of what was happening, you wouldn't be okay with it. But because we don't know, we just put up with it. But it's gross how many people follow us on the internet. And
yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just,
take
no.
Lucas's tablet away.
he just gets to watch Netflix.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Amy.
Matt.
You should probably wind this one down. You have to get out of here. You're headed to Peru.
Peru.
You've seen a couple of times, and I haven't asked you about this off the air, which I probably should have first, that when Maddie Lang goes, you know, pounding around the world. Yeah, we all do.
He's nice.
He's good.
And I hate that you pointed out that he looked like Luongo.
He absolutely looks
like Luongo. I know, because that's all I see when I look at him.
Yeah.
Sorry, Maddie. I still like you.
He sometimes takes our Instagram with him. I think maybe you should take our Instagram to Peru.
Oh, I could. I mean, I keep cracking my knuckles. I'm
yeah,
so sorry.
You should stop doing that.
I have, due to security reasons, I have zero issues in I don't think I'll be leaving the village much.
No.
Because I don't want to die.
But while you're maybe at the opening ceremony.
Oh, for sure.
Or, you know, if you see something kind of cool, you could snap a picture and put it up on ours or on our story or whatever.
You'll have to give me a lesson on the story front because I'm not.
I'll have Maddie give you a lesson on the story front because
he's
the one who runs our stuff best.
I don't know how to run Instagram.
You know as well as anybody that our listeners enjoy following you around a little bit, just like the creepy guys following that kid around on the stage. But like hearing from you. And
God, that's so great.
You can give us a follow on Instagram at TalkAnAudio, and I'm going to try and talk Amy into taking it on the road with her. If you want to follow her directly, you can do that at BurkeAmy7 on Twitter and Instagram. She uses one of those way more often than the others. You'll figure that out for yourself. It's at Canadian Women's Goalball on Instagram. It's Canadian Women's Goalball on Facebook. Is there anything I'm missing?
They're on Twitter, but I think
you too, and it doesn't do much.
I don't even remember the password, if we're being honest.
Okay, well, I wouldn't look for much out of that then, folks.
I'm pretty sure when I post on Facebook, it goes to Twitter, but I don't actually know.
But Amy will be representing Canada again at the Parapan America Games in Lima, Peru, trying to qualify for Tokyo 2020. You know, we're all pulling for you here. We appreciate you coming by and, you know, A, being interviewed, and B, co-hosting. And, you know, hopefully as we move along, you'll come back again. But good luck in Lima.
Thank you. I will come back qualified to do a lovely show with you.
That'd be awesome.
Because if I don't, I'll have to come back and just drink my sorrow.
Yeah, you'll
away
be able to come back
here
way more often if you're not qualified, to be honest with you.
Okay, so now what are you hoping for?
Well, I can't talk about that.
Yeah,
That's Audio Whiplash for another week. Like I said, we'll post all of Amy's social media stuff in with ours, and you can get a follow there. But in the meantime, that's been Audio Whiplash for another week. Amy, thank you very much.
No worries. And thanks again. You know, Matt shares different messages from people. And I mean, it's always touching. It's super sweet and super nice.
We get stuff from all over Canada that we try and pass along.
And there was even some Americans.
Yeah.
When in Fort Wayne there. So, I mean, that is super nice. I'm always hesitant on doing stuff because I feel like I'm awful at these. But he tells me I'm not, and then he shows me all these lovely messages from you lovely people. So, coolio.
It's great. So.
Thank you so much.
That's where we'll end this one. Thanks a lot for listening to another episode of Audio Whiplash, and we'll see you on the next one.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
And- Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app. When you say Tall Can Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.